Blog Talk Radio.
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Any form of
transparency
tax.
And the rule of law will be the touchstone.
You got a business
of this president.
That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Even presidents need reminding that our rights come from nature and God and not from government. The right that makes all the difference now is the right to choose our own leaders. And you are entitled to the clearest possible choice because the time for choosing is
Missouri
drawing near.
Grassroots Radio is proud to present your favorite hillbilly, Mr. Kevin Harned.
And that would actually be your trio of hillbillies, and that would be Richard Blowers, Kevin Harned, and Dean Whiteman. Last week, we had Dalton in, so it was still a trio of hillbillies.
You're still our favorite, though, Kev.
Well, thanks.
Right.
I appreciate that. I really do. Just trying to get us all scoped out. And all kinds of stuff going on in the news, all kinds of stuff. Unfortunately, it's never anymore, especially with the assaults on personal liberty and everything else that we may find. We had a big climax yesterday on a whole bunch of executive orders. Was there 23, I believe, I want to say? 23 executive orders. And keep speaking for me there, Rich. I want to bump you up.
23 of them.
Because he
just ran out. Couldn't come up with anything else.
Well, a lot of people are saying, well, it wasn't nearly as bad as what we anticipated. A lot of stuff like that. But the one thing that I don't think that they're taking into consideration is the long-range plan and the goals that are set forth. I think that there are things that are damaging enough in the provisions that he set forth. I think there's enough to be concerned about. And again, a lot of people are acting like he really fell short. Of course, those that desire a complete gun ban are going to believe that regardless. But still, I believe there's enough damaging stuff in there. Did you see anything on the local level on House Bill 170 that's been introduced?
Yeah, I sure did. I saw quite a bit that I like the looks of that. I think that you got to nip this in the bud. Can you hear me at all?
I'm not, but put your metering out.
Okay.
You're in Dean, great.
Well, yeah.
You're in
I'm
Dean,
feeling
great.
The same way. I'm not hearing Rich either.
Yeah, I can hear Dean just fine. So.
And as we try to hammer out exactly what's going on here with the board, make sure that we're all set up. Right, for Dino.
What is Bill 170? I haven't heard.
Well, it basically comes in and says that the state of Missouri is not going to allow any federal officials to come in and enforce any kind of federal firearms regulations.
Well, I like that.
The state is going to stand up and take some sovereignty on this issue and say enough is enough to the federal government.
Okay.
There's been a couple states. I know Wyoming has. Already passed something like that.
Right.
You know, it happened within days of work coming out of what Obama was planning on doing with his executive directives or whatever they were.
Good for them.
So Missouri's got something in the works, too. And I don't know. I just hate to be a pessimist, but it seems like a lot of these feel-good bills pop up right away. They'll get through one chamber of the Congress and the House and Senate in Missouri, then all of a sudden they just kind of peter out. They don't have a veto-proof majority because our Democratic governor is pretty much for gun control. So unless it's a veto-proof vote, I don't think it's going to get through. And I would like to see it go through and get done right away before anything else is dealt with. I've got to deal with this because all of our liberties are under attack. Second Amendment, it seems to me freedom of speech is already under attack. This is really the last stance. Because if we lose this, we have no way to fight back. And that's what it's coming down to. And it's just a tsunami right now of things that are going on. And the sad thing is, this is all overshadowing the debt problem that is very critical to the country. We could get by without any kind of action on gun control, because whatever they do isn't going to fix what happened in Sandy Hook or what happened in Aurora, Colorado.
Absolutely, and that's the whole thing. And that's one thing I want to ask these people again and again and again. There's a sense that we have to do something, but at the same time, you know, who says that this is going to fix anything? This is going to actually cut down on murders.
I've already heard plenty of people admit that it won't change anything. I think really we've seen this plenty of times. Like we're saying, this is kind of a smokescreen to keep us off other issues. I do believe that.
I think that there is. I certainly believe that it's been effective.
Yes.
How much have you heard about Benghazi lately?
Nothing.
How much have you heard about a lot of these different things that quite frankly, are a smoking gun unto themselves? There's a lot of issues out there right now, and like Richard said, the fiscal cliff, and unfortunately, that whole deal with the fiscal cliff, and that's what really drives me nuts. We talked about it a little bit the other day. And that is the fact that that whole thing was lost months ago whenever they negotiated the last debt ceiling limit raise. That whole thing, whenever they threw that out there, you knew it was going to go down to the wire. You knew it was going to go down to the last minute. You had both sides both calling it a fiscal cliff.
Right.
And all of the pressure was on the Republicans. It wasn't the president sitting back laughing, thinking, you know, I schooled you guys again.
That's right.
That's where it was won and lost. And then the Republicans can jump up and say, what can we do? We had our backs against the wall. We couldn't do anything else. And the bottom line, well, first of all, you can't put yourself in that position, you wing nuts.
Well, agreed, but we put them in that position. There was something they could do. They could stand up for themselves. You don't have to bend over.
You're a newcomer to the game.
Yeah. Why is that, though? It's a fact. That drives me crazy. It does.
We don't have any legislators in Washington that have the guts to stand up and do the things that are necessary to fix the problems that we have today.
Amen.
We could flush D.C., all 545 states, the Supreme Court, the House, the Senate, the President. Flush them and start over with people who understand the basics of America, what we stand for, what made our country great. These guys don't have a clue, and they just continue down the same path. If they were really serious about fixing the debt ceiling, they would have tackled it immediately after last year when they had to extend it and they were against the wall and they had to put it through again. Now you hear nothing about it until a week before. And here we go again with the same baloney.
And the same threat, that same threat lingers of a government shutdown. And they're scared to death of receiving.
Is that a bad thing?
They're scared. Well, and in all honesty, they act like we're going to just totally forfeit on all of our debt or all of our responsibilities. And that's not so. That isn't how it works. But again, you feed it out there enough, you throw it out there enough, general public buys it, and the pressure's on.
And
all you have to do is threaten to cut some of these checks off.
Oh, absolutely.
Soldiers won't get paid.
Right.
Social Security first thing. Checks won't go out. That's the first scare tactic that they throw out every time.
It's like bond issues and stuff in your local school districts. The first thing that they did was start talking about cutting the most popular programs
right.
in order to get the – if we don't, we're going to have to cut – we're going to have to cut this. We're going to have to cut football. We're going to have to cut that. It's the first thing.
That's right.
And it's always, like Richard said, it's always police, firemen. Those are the first two things that you're going to have to cut.
That's right.
And it's the same template. It has been, for gosh sakes – I haven't been in high school in 30 years, but yet that's the same template that was used back then, only for different things that were desired to be pushed through.
People forget. In 10 years, you can redo the same thing over and over. It's like a completely new generation is just ready to be befuddled.
I don't know that they're ever unfuddled.
Yeah, you're right.
that's
a good
that
point.
Goes.
I watch it year after year. The same things are happening. It's like insanity.
Richard? You had mentioned about the disappointment with the representation nationally. I was encouraged by there's a state senator, Greg Ball, in of all places, New York. And I don't know if you've heard any any part of what he had to say about their very restrictive gun laws that they passed. I will tell you what.
I'll refresh my memory.
Do you have it?
I probably have heard something about it.
I came across this today.
Good evening, everybody. How are you? It's good to be in the state of New York. You know, it's amazing. I got a letter from a mother, my daughter, and that mother.
When his kids are protected by armed guards at their school, Mr. Obama demands the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes. But he's just another elitist hypocrite when it comes to fair share of security. Protection for their kids and gun-free zones for ours.
I think it's pretty effective.
Yeah, I heard that.
Absolutely.
I think it's...
And you know, the outrage is, all the Democrats are screaming, well, you can't go after it. That's below the belt, bringing his kids into this. You know, that's...
They bring their kids into everything.
Oh, brother, yeah.
Targets,
and your kids.
Yeah, he's the one that paraded the kids out on the stage and signed these 23 orders.
Yep.
He's always using kids for stuff, and he used his kids during the campaign every chance he got.
Every chance.
And they're not going after the kids. They're pointing out the hypocrisy of him wanting armed protection for his kids, but telling our kids we have to survive in a gun-free zone and making them targets.
Absolutely, and that's the whole thing. And you hit it on the head. They're not going after his kids. And only, you know, that shows how weak the argument against that is. Because what they're saying is, if it's good enough for his kids, it's good enough for ours. And the fact that they're unwilling to fund that or unwilling to even recognize it is a different story. Myself, I think there's other alternatives. I think there's enough school teachers and others that would like to go through the courses, go through the classes, get certified. And, yes. And then on top of that, too, it's whenever you fly, anytime you're in an airplane, you don't know who the marshal is.
That's
right. I mean, wouldn't it be much more effective to not know what teacher's carrying?
Absolutely. Just like when you're in public, you don't know who might be packing and who's not. And there's no reason that teachers, custodians, administrators in schools should not be able to get concealed carry training. And they probably need to have another level of training on top of that if they're going to carry in schools.
Right.
Maybe some sort of technical training, you know, in personal protection inside the home, something along those lines where they train not just to shoot at things, but how to move, what to look for, a little additional training. And I don't think that school districts, they should be allowed to do that if they choose to do that. It wouldn't be that expensive. The teachers probably would even maybe pay for it out of their own pocket because they're protecting themselves and the students. They're not just protecting the students.
That's true.
I don't, you know, that's one thing that I'd be willing to pay for.
Yeah.
Is that training. And again, I think that's a valid point. And I believe that would be one instance to where we certainly wouldn't find many objections in both the cost and the fact that they have to go through extra training in this particular case. That's never been the cause, never been the crux. We've always advocated good training. You know, you look at all the people, the demonized NRA trains every year. It's unbelievable at the training mechanisms that they've got out there. And what do? I mean, they get brutalized left and right all the time in the press about how evil they are.
Right.
And
And here's the thing. I kept hearing over and over people talking about this thing. And then the one thing that they kept saying is, if we can save one life, whatever we can do, it's worth it. Well, you're going to save way more lives by putting people carrying in schools than you are going to by taking assault rifles from everyday folks.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, that you're, because a criminal's still going to get the gun, and you don't think that these people that go into these gun-free zones and they know that there's people in there carrying, and before they could even get their gun out, they could be dead.
Any way you look at it, it's the statistics will bear out that murders by assault, what they call assault guns or assault gun types, account for less than 0.5% of the entire murder rate by guns, not just the entire murder rate by hammers and knives and hands and everything else.
Which happens a lot.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Many, many, many more times. Whenever you're looking at those kind of statistics, it just goes to show the dishonesty in the attempt, even if they believe that it would cut down. And isn't that the old cry on everything? If we could just help one or save one.
If that was the rule, they would outlaw smoking.
That's
they
right.
They would outlaw alcohol because that's going to save way more than one person. So
absolutely.
That's just the biggest hokey line. You know, it's.
And what it does is it marginalizes you. It puts you in a box where if you don't support this, then you don't want to save a kid.
You hate kids.
You hate the children.
Yeah. And it's so ridiculous, and I just hope people catch on to this pretty quick.
And again, that NRA ad, I believe that there is absolutely nothing wrong with that ad. And quite frankly, the cry and foul that folks have done over that ad proves that it's dead spot on. And that's just one of many things to look forward to is the fact that we have to bring a lot of this stuff out to the public, into the public discussion, because if we sit back on our haunches and wait
to let the mainstream media tell us
and
about
let them dictate it, frame it, let them also make it appear that any kind of defense of the Second Amendment is going to make you a cold-hearted, you know what? Then it's a lost cause.
Go and back that's to what England, Pierce.
That's right. Absolutely. They don't want him.
Yeah, I know. That's the funniest part about
that
all of it.
That is the funniest part of all of it.
I heard a great stat the other day, Glenn Beck. He rattled off 10 schools, and all of them had shootings that were under 4 people because someone at the school, be it a principal, a teacher, had a gun and was able to stop it. Since it's under 4, it's not a mass shooting, so we don't hear about it.
We wouldn't hear about it.
10 in a row he named off on that. Yeah, but how fantastic. That could have been 15 to 20 on every one of these schools.
Yeah.
There's
a
lot
absolutely.
Of people saved, and you'll never hear those stats.
No, you won't. No, and that's the shame. That's the shame of it. All we're going to hear about is exactly the inept media promoting and pushing and being the mouthpiece that they serve. That's the best thing that they do serve. They do a good job at that.
Sure. I don't know if you guys heard it or saw it today, but you talk about the demonization of the pro-gun folks. Bob Schieffer on 60 Minutes.
Right.
He compared, he made the statement, I'll paraphrase, basically said, you know, presidents have defeated, you know, Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany. They defeated Osama bin Laden, you know.
Killed him.
They killed him. They took him out. Surely the president can defeat the gun lobby.
Oh, yeah, the NRA.
Comparing
yeah.
the NRA to Nazis
right.
and Osama bin
right.
Laden.
Oh.
And it's like, I believe it, but for somebody to actually say something that outrageous and that out of line, it's incredible what people are trying to say about, you know, and this is an American right that we've had. It's God-given. It's not... The Constitution verifies it and backs it up and tries to guarantee it as much as possible. But that's your right as a human being, and it's not something government can take away.
No, and they have no problem at all with arms, just not in the hands of the civilians.
Right.
You know, flat out.
Right.
It's the truth.
Yeah, that's it.
They want it to. They want you to be totally dependent on them and, quite frankly, defenseless, whenever it comes down to it. Because again, you know, your options are going to be very limited, and nobody is. And here's the other thing too: anytime you try to take that defense, everybody starts acting like you're trying to instigate some type of civil war with the U.S. government. And that's not the case. There's nobody in this room that is trying to incite that. But the bottom line is we do want to be able – we do have the God-given right, as Richard said, to defend our home, to defend our property, and defend our family from anyone.
That's right.
From anyone that might harm them, that might take it. And it's downright wrong to take any other approach. And here's – And this is another thing with the press. Joe Manchin, don't know if either one of you guys have heard about it. He's a West Virginia Democrat senator. He used to be the governor of the state. He was the one, if you guys remember back during the election, he had a commercial of him shooting. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And he was shooting the Health Care Act,
right.
The Affordable Health Care Act. And then after he got shooting it, you know, he said, "I will protect your Second Amendment rights." And of course, you know, wavering now. But even he, in a meeting just yesterday, I believe it was, with a member of more conservative press, told him that if they do not pass, if we do not pass some type of legislation restricting cartridges size, restricting assault weapons, that the press will start showing dead children one after another, pictures of them, left and right.
Oh,
I mean,
brother.
And this is and now, after the commercial, after everything else, he is, you know, even though he's a little at least vocally critical of the legislation and stuff, he's wavering on the whole cartridge thing and the assault weapons.
Does he really believe they put pictures of dead children on?
I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, but I'm going to tell you, they would do anything that they get. That they would.
Oh.
As sad as that is.
I think there'd be a huge outcry. On TV, are we saying?
No, we're saying in the paper. Other
yeah, you
places.
Might get it on a billboard and stuff. I remember that.
Right, they don't. No. And wait for the big bailout of the newspapers. Wait for the bailout of those that have been carrying the water in the liberal press and the newspapers.
Didn't we already have that once?
No, they kicked it around. They talked about it. You know, they're going to have to. They're going to have to because it's nothing but government-sponsored propaganda anyways. I mean, and that's why it's going to continue. That's why they keep going to the trough. I mean, on top of their ideology, that's another reason why they go to the trough is they know who butters their bread.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw. I saw this late today. This is another good one. In the Congress in Washington on the 14th, Monday, they introduced a bill, H.R. 226. It's called the Support Assault Firearms Elimination and Reduction Act for Our Streets Act. And basically, a gun buyback program.
Oh, there we go.
That would be, it's a tax credit, and it would, any of the weapons, I believe, that fall in it, and there's a list of, I don't know, half a page of different weapons.
Well, drug dealers usually need a tax write-off.
Right.
Yeah.
You get $2,000 in credits. You get to take the first $1,000 the first year and the second $1,000 the second year. And you fill out some forms and you turn it in and you get your tax credits.
Yeah, you get your cash for clunkers.
Yeah.
So we're broke and we're borrowing money from China. We're printing money and we're gonna go ahead and even though we have a debt ceiling crisis, they're wanting to pay $2,000 for an assault weapon. It might have cost $700-$800.
Oh, and, I'm telling you. You know, it's just like the cash for clunkers deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that had a whole different total agenda that wasn't out front.
It screwed all kinds of things.
And it's predictable. You knew what it would do to the used car market.
Oh, yeah.
You knew what it would do to the parts market. I mean, people being able to get these because they were totally destroyed.
Yeah.
You knew all of that stuff. They knew all of that stuff.
Sure,
they were trying to get these vehicles off of the road. They're trying to get the SUVs and all the rest of them off of the road, and this was their way to try to accomplish that again, you know, and in the process, it had a devastating effect and continues to on our economy. It's funny, you know, and this is a pretty good segue.
Kids more
whenever that one hopped back up again, it was a good commercial. We might have to play it again.
Kids.
But this one is a pretty good little skit on the debt limit. See if you guys, for all those that are listening, follow this pretty close because it's pretty good. If it plays. There we
go. What can I do for you today?
I would like to raise my debt limit.
Excuse me? My debt limit, I'd like to raise it.
Because last I checked, Mr. Smith, you were in serious debt.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Figure we should raise that limit.
Yeah, it says here you're $140,270 in debt.
Right. So I figured we should raise that limit to about $170,000. I just bought a 60-inch hot screen. Have you ever been to Australia?
No.
Leaving tomorrow, mate.
You should check it out. Great parasailing.
Do you have some new income that I don't know about?
No, still making about $21,000 a year.
Okay. And are you still spending $38,000 a year?
That's what it says.
So you're adding $17,000 a year in debt.
Wow, is that what it comes out to? Debt limit going up. Ding.
Have you made any cuts in your expenses?
Oh, of course, yes. My wife and I cut $380 out of our annual budget. It's $380.
Brutal. Okay. So you're adding $17,000 a year to your $140,000 in debt, and you cut $380.
When you say it like that, it makes it not sound like a lot.
Hey, maybe you should think about generating some new income. Maybe a new job. Maybe ask for that raise.
Oh, asking for that raise. I'm not comfortable. That's an awkward conversation. I've always been able to raise my debt limit.
Yeah, well, this is a little different.
Well, how?
We're in the middle of a recession, and your credit rating will plummet if you continue to go along this path.
I almost had it.
You don't see how bad this is, do you?
I cut my budget by $380. Are you kidding?
I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. We can't help you. Just a little. I'm really sorry.
My wife is going to lose it.
Been there.
I mean, $380 is bad enough. I mean, this is going to end our marriage. We stopped talking to each other for a month. The baby was totally freaked out.
Wait. You have kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much like the politicians. Isn't that about the same approach?
Except no one's telling them you should stop.
Right. Well, I mean, the public is.
Yeah.
And there's that. But what about all the people that are going to suffer? What about everything else?
Oh, that's classic.
I'm telling you. I thought it was pretty good description there. It went on for a little bit longer, but I think you guys got the gist of it. So it's pretty simple. It's about that simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Yes. It is.
I watched him on TV talking about the debt ceiling and how we've already spent this money. We've got to pay it back. We've already incurred these bills. Absolutely no mention of cutting those bills back. It'd be like, okay, you raise the debt ceiling one last time, cut the spending to the point where the next time this comes up, we don't have to raise it, and then we'll start reducing it. But their idea of spending cuts are just reductions and raises of what they're
right.
talking about. So it's not like, even a cut.
It's saying, Rich, instead of your 4% raise this year, we're going to have to cut you 1%, but you're going to still get a 3% raise, right?
Yeah.
That happens every year, doesn't it?
But we cut $300 million. Exactly.
Right. We're gonna spend $1.7 trillion, but we have cut $300 million. So
right, that's
yeah.
all.
off of the projected raises,
yeah.
which again brings us back to where we are. You're listening to Hillbilly Logic in studio tonight. Richard Blowers, Dean Whiteman, and myself, Hillbilly Kevin. And we've been talking some gun talk, and we've also been talking about the debt limit and how it's going to – do you guys see this playing out any other different way when we're going to come around to, once again, this battle of the debt ceiling?
No.
Do you see any other outcome?
No, not at all.
Same thing.
Not at all. So we are all deeply, as hillbillies, in anticipation of the same old game, same song, same dance partner, same everything.
The only thing that could turn out different would be if the House refused to raise it and then just put their foot down and said, no, we're not going to do it. It's not going to be raised. Cut the budget, get it under control, then we'll talk about raising it. But
You don't foresee that happening.
No, nobody has the guts to do that. You might have one or two people that will talk about it,
But when it comes down to getting the necessary majority to actually do that, it won't happen.
Right.
It won't happen.
No, I agree with you. It absolutely won't. Dean?
It hasn't yet.
It hasn't yet.
It's
not.
Over and over. No.
Again, you know, it's gonna. That's what it's gonna take. We are starting to get. Of course, they are cutting down. Dean and I had talked about a couple of weeks ago. One guy out in California that started his toy gun buyback program, where he was getting the kids come in and turn in their toy guns and give a letter about why, you know, toy guns are so bad and so forth, and he'd give them a teddy bear. This guy has started up that program again, along with some others. So that gets one guy saving some lives. You know we all know that. You're seeing this kind of stuff more and more in the news every day, too.
Is it a serious threat of gun violence or just child's play? For the second time in less than a month, a Maryland child is kicked out of school for using his finger in the shape of a gun. WJZ is live. Kai Jackson has more on the controversy. Kai?
Well, Vic, here's the bottom line. Recent violence inside the nation's school has claimed lives. So even the gesture of a weapon raises the debate about what's appropriate and what's not.
Controversy at a Talbot County school after 2 6-year-old boys are suspended while playing cops and robbers during recess and using their fingers like this to make an imaginary gun.
It's ridiculous.
This is the second time recently a Maryland child has been suspended for such play. Earlier this month, 6-year-old Roddy Lynch was suspended from his Montgomery County school after pretending to fire an imaginary gun more than once.
Just pointing her fingers like this, and then she did pop sound, and I just went like that. And then I got sent to the office again.
The school reversed its decision after Rodney's parents appealed.
They're saying he threatened a student, threatened to shoot a student. He was playing.
I do not believe maliciousness was involved here.
A child psychologist says public safety at schools should be paramount, but adds behavior that's inappropriate but not dangerous is an opportunity to educate.
I can certainly appreciate that at school they may feel that that's not a type of play that they're going to endorse, and I support that, but that's where we educate time and place for doing things.
Other parents agree.
Suspending them is a bit harsh, and I don't think that's going to do any good for the parent, the child, or the school.
Talbot County school officials declined to talk about punishment or give any other details of this case, citing confidentiality requirements. Back to you.
I thank you. The overall number of suspensions is on the rise in Maryland. A number of school leaders say they will try to reduce that.
Yeah, we're going to get those kids out of the schools. I mean, they got to go, guys.
They're cold-blooded kids.
Absolutely. It's
6 years old.
Where in the world? And this is what happens whenever you're truly looking in the wrong place for solutions. You get this kind of ridiculousness.
Exactly.
We used to play cops and robbers when I was a kid. Cowboys and the Indians.
Exactly.
When I was 10, we would have BB gun fights.
By the way, Hillbilly Logic Show does not condone heat BB gun fights.
or bottle rocket fights.
Come on. Pretty soon.
That's true.
Again, this is the ridiculousness that we're left with when you really have no foundational approach to really attack these issues honestly.
What the real issue is.
Absolutely. And it's got nothing to do with the size of the cartridge. It's got nothing to do with tell me one person. You can ask anybody. Do you think that this is going to make a difference? And they're going to say no. Do you think restricting the size of the cartridge is going to make a difference in Chicago next year?
No.
It doesn't now.
Not one.
Look at the guns, the gun laws they have now. It doesn't work except for in the reverse. So
yeah, how does anyone get shot in Chicago?
because there are some law-abiding citizens.
That's what it is.
They're thinning it out is all I can say. Go ahead.
100 more people killed in 2011 with hammers than
with
rifles.
With rifles, right.
Really?
I was
100 people in 2011.
Now that's bad carpentry.
And they also throw in, all the suicides that they get put in the statistics of gun deaths.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, a lot more of those with rifles than there is with hammers, because frankly,
you can't beat
yourself to death with hammers.
That second or third blow is if you don't get a couple of good ones in, it takes the will out of you.
Oh.
existing.
You know, I'm thinking that we had a shooting right here in St. Louis this last week. The guy with his didn't get money for schooling. Did you hear that? And he went into the financial office and shot him?
Yep.
And then shot himself?
No, he also...
And they both lived.
Right.
He shot himself in the chest. He shot the other guy in the chest. Isn't that a weird way to try to kill yourself, shooting yourself
in
the
chest? It is, but you know what? Most
of that sixth grader's dad.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Right.
Now, I don't know. The whole thing seemed odd.
Now, it's not odd, really, honestly. They claim that if a woman shoots herself, most of the time it's in the chest. Like if she commits suicide.
So you can have an open casket. A
so they don't want to disfigure themselves many times, and often it'll that'll be the approach.
Just in case they do live, too. Yeah.
Well, just subconsciously, I guess. It's a tough thing. Whenever we're looking at everything, the one case, I'd say the most bizarre case that I saw some years ago was a guy who decided to cut his hand off, I guess, with a skill saw. I don't know if it was offending him or what, but he cut his hand off, and then he grabbed a nail gun and shot himself in the head like four or five times with a nail gun.
With the other hand?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he lived. I mean, they were able to surgically remove the nails, and then I believe that's the same guy that turned around and refused to allow the hospital to reattach his hand, and I believe that's the same guy that turned around and then sued the hospital and won later because they didn't reattach his hand.
Oh, no.
Because he said that obviously he wasn't in a mental ability
right.
to make a good judgment call at that time.
You see why doctors want to get out?
They want to get out for many reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you guys. I mean, my doctor might be 1 or 2 years older than me, which in the land of doctors, it's a relatively younger doctor. He left his practice this year before everything kicked in.
Really?
He left it. He went to work directly for the hospital. That is a pattern that you're going to see more and more and more of. They work directly for the hospital instead of running their own practice.
That's what's going to happen over at JMH.
And that's where he was.
Yeah, that's what their doctors work for the hospital. They're not independent with St. John. So.
And he sees no patients except for he goes. He's a hospital doctor.
Right.
He sees the patients in the hospital. And that's
it. Well, he knows he's going to get paid.
But it was kind of, I was disappointed in many major ways because I called to make an appointment and I got a message saying to call another doctor's office.
Oh,
I mean,
that could have
went down a little better.
Yeah.
Especially.
Hope you're not hurt too bad.
So it's that's how I found out, and all I was wanting was a prescription refilled, and it's like, dang. But anyways, that's where we're at. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Hillbilly Logic on this Thursday evening. Stick around.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details.
You know, we're talking about the budget amongst many other things. And unfortunately, you know, one of the things, naturally, the current president has accelerated this to nobody's imagination. But there's some guilt lies on President Bush and others in the Republican Party too. For it's kind of like they want the same thing, and it's okay if they're in charge. But I want to. Did you guys see anything at all? Now you know that the Secretary of the Interior has resigned. So Salazar. So Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, who oversaw the moratorium on offshore drilling after the BP oil spill, will step down in March, and they just announced that yesterday. Now, whatever we're looking at it, Salazar has run the Interior Department throughout President Barack Obama's first term, and this guy was a former senator from Colorado. He pushed for renewable power, such as solar and wind, but gained the most attention for his role in the drilling moratorium. It was a key part of the administration's response to the April 2010 explosion of the Deepwater Horizon rig in the Gulf of Mexico. It was also one of the largest environmental disasters in the U.S. history, and once again, an opportunity for this administration to seize a crisis. All right. And to try to push an agenda. Business groups and Gulf Coast political leaders said the shutdown crippled oil and gas industry and cost thousands of jobs, and might we add, good-paying jobs. And the problem was that it cost most of those jobs aboard rigs that were not even operated by BP in the first place. So this guy, one of the things that I was going to say about this whole thing, whenever the Interior Department or the Secretary of the Interior's bathroom was remodeled back a while ago, it was only to the tune of $222,000 for the bathroom remodeling.
Is that pure gold?
No, it isn't. But no detail was overlooked. It had a $3,500 Sub-Zero refrigerator. Hey, you never know. I mean, in the bathroom. I mean, it's always the best place to eat your snacks.
That's right. This just goes right through me.
Oh, yeah. It had a $689 faucet. At least one vintage tissue holder that was cheap. It was only $65. So
wow.
There you go. Problem with this? The problem was the renovation was done in 2007 under President George W. Bush's Interior Secretary. And it's only now coming to light. And that's because you had some reporters that had been pretty staunch in going after it. And actually, I believe it was ABC, and this probably never would have initiated under the president that we currently have, but it just took them a long time to get this out from before. And I'm not in defense of it, don't get me wrong, but it was first filed a Freedom of Information Act 4 years ago, and they finally got the information on how much the bathroom cost and what was spent.
Six years later.
I mean,
2007, yeah.
It's a shame when it takes that long for something that critical.
Wow.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you could tell the national security was definitely at risk by divulging that information. But again, folks, these guys, they have been living like kings. It goes on. It goes on, and it still does. And I think it would be fairly easy to get the majority of the Americans to agree on many restrictions on Congress themselves.
I agree with that.
They should have to have the same health care we have. They should have to be under Social Security like we are. They shouldn't have lifetime salaries. In fact, they should probably have minimal salaries and term limits. You go there, you perform a service as a public servant, and you go back home to doing what you were doing.
No retirement whatsoever.
No.
None. I mean, you know what? If they want a retirement, they could take the wages they earn and open a 401k.
Absolutely.
And
pay into Social Security.
And pay into Social Security.
Same as us.
Now, there are some contributions made on that now, since actually I think under Reagan they kicked in some. But the whole thing is their benefits package, they choose themselves. The retirements are ridiculous. All of that stuff. And you know what? If you don't like the terms that the people set for you, don't run.
Right.
I don't care.
Pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, you want to complain about CEOs screwing up companies and getting big bonuses? That's exactly what our Congress does all the time.
We have way more billionaires in Congress than you do in the general population. It's not even close. A lot of people made a ton of money
on inside trading because they know what's happening in the government and pull strings and get things done. Now, Harry Reid is, you know, one that sticks out there.
Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
I mean, and it doesn't just it's all across the board.
No,
I'm not going to
both parties.
Right.
And there seems to be no real push to straighten that out. You know, and, I know they make a pretty hefty salary. I'm just curious as to what their per diems are. You know their airfare is covered by.
Well, they got 24/7 child care too.
Right.
I mean, the 24/7,
yeah.
And their limitations on per child to the care worker is much, much less than what the limitation is to the general public too. I don't remember how much it is, but it's ridiculous. And if they get in a whim just to go somewhere, boom, child care is taken care of. You look at everything else. I mean, I think their benefits package, I think whenever you factor in their insurance and anything and everything else, there's like over 400 choices or something that they can make on where this stuff's going. And the one that strikes me, just gets in my crawl more than any of them is that they pass legislation that doesn't pertain to them. I mean, that ought to be automatic. Whenever you pass legislation, there should be nobody that doesn't apply.
Right.
Nobody. I mean, we're not supposed to be royalty.
That's
we're not
right.
supposed to be lords and kings. You're not supposed to be above the law. If you pass legislation, it should apply to you, your family, and your staff. And it's ridiculous. I was talking about the press earlier, literally eaten out of the hands of those that push and promote their agenda. And I am this, in my opinion, is more of a blight on the press than it is. I'm not trying to beat up on the First Lady here.
Let's beat her up.
But Michelle Obama, you know, she turned 49, and we love the First Lady on her 49th birthday. This was an article that I saw today, actually, and I guess you could call it press. It's promoted as the press. They say that Fox News isn't a news organization, but the Huffington Post is. So. But if we look at it, they gave 49 reasons why they love Hills and or why they love Michelle Obama as she celebrates her 49th. And you guys are, I mean, you know, they needless to say, really reached on most of these.
About 47 of them.
Of course. Of course, she was Barack's mentor. That was one of them. But she wears dresses that the average American woman could afford.
Oh.
And that wears them how often is what I want to know. I mean, this is again, because you can't tell me she don't have her $15,000 pearls and other things. She had her family vet. Now, this one I really love. She had her family vet Barack before she would agree to go on a date with him. Now, why don't she give that information to the government and to the press? Because obviously it's more of a vetting than what they could ever do. Maybe, I mean, she says, because her father has always told her you can tell a lot about someone's character by their behavior on a basketball court, she had her brother Craig shoot hoops with Barack. And according to Slate, another fine piece of rag.
Yeah.
Craig gave Barack a good report, and the future president started dating Michelle. So this is one of the 49 reasons why they love her. Another, she hugged the queen, and that's they love her even though it's apparently against royal protocol
to
hug
that.
The queen. But they love her because you know what? Just out of willy nilly, she did it.
Yeah.
Do what you want. Do what you if it feels good, do it. Right. The best thing is she's an advocate for kids' health care.
Yeah.
Yeah, through her Let's Move. She seems very much at home in her own body. There's a reason to love her.
Better than someone else's.
I really like this one. She isn't afraid to challenge authority and probably never has been. There's a reason to love someone.
Yeah.
It gets better. I mean, that and number 11, she wants to talk about race. Number 12, the arms. They love her for her toned arms.
For her arms.
Absolutely.
They are reaching.
The fact that she's an equal partner in her marriage. She writes her own speeches. She recognizes the pressure women face to look ageless and isn't buying it. I mean, those are all valid reasons. Valid reasons. There are some doozies.
I think she's above 50% on the marriage, but that's just me.
Her reasons for looking after herself sound a lot like ours might. So she said, I began to prioritize exercise because I realized that my happiness is tied to how I feel about myself. I want my girls to see a mother who takes care of herself. That's at number 17.
That's not shallow.
Nope.
Good for her.
And she took her baby to a job interview. 18.
What?
Yeah. So that's a reason to love her. She took her baby to a job interview. 19, she's down to earth. 20, she lets her dog sleep with her when Barack's out of town.
Oh.
There's a reason for Richard to shake his head. Am I killing you, Rich? At first, I thought 21 was that she's a fan of pillow farts, but it's the pillow forts.
That's better.
And again, what kind of a paper or press would do something like this?
We're bacon people.
22, she keeps Barack in check. 23, I love that.
That's
one. We're bacon people.
We're bacon people.
Enough said. Well, you know, their health care drive, their health care kick.
Yes.
Bacon people. You got to know that.
You can't have a 16-ounce
soda. She has great taste in music. She doesn't retaliate against people who badmouth her. Still, yeah. No. That's number 25, Rich. It's got to be true. It's got to be true.
They got that Sub-Zero freezer in the bathroom.
She finds time for nights out with her girlfriends, number 26. She's more popular than her husband, 27. I mean, it gets better, better and better and better. I like 28. She doesn't like pantyhose. I don't either.
Yeah, you should be.
That's a reason to love me. Guess what her guilty pleasure is at number 30?
Fat cakes.
French fries. Again,
yeah.
Where's the health?
That's
where's
right.
The health kick? Absolutely. 31, this is a reason to love somebody. She likes to sleep. Yes, you heard it. She likes to sleep. She daydreams about incredibly normal things. I'm 32. 33, she tries not to read news about herself or her family. 34, that time she taught middle schoolers how to doogie as part of her Let's Move campaign. She shops at Target. 35. Yeah, all the time. She did a photo op in Target one
time.
Yeah. Closed it down
with 38
days of service. Armed to the hilt, might we say. She knows what it's like to be a working mom. Her strong sartorial choices, that means they like her outfits, and she wants to jazz up Barack's wardrobe. There's a reason.
That's a reason to love her.
That's a reason.
Have you seen some of the shots of her with some of the outfits she wears?
Yes.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
I'm sorry. There's just no class whatsoever there.
Well, Richard, that would fall on 41 because she doesn't let criticism get her down, which makes her a great role model for women and young girls.
I love her.
So you can criticize all you want. 41, she's good with that. And the best thing is, she won't come after you.
That's right.
It's crazy, man. She tries to keep her daughters down to earth. She recognizes and encourages female leaders. She continues to describe herself as mom in chief. She's humble. She's humble.
It sounds like she's humble.
Mom in chief. 45, she's got a sweet tooth. Just one.
It's a big one.
She believes in the power of female friendship. 47, her hugs. It gets better.
Her hugs.
48, she wants young girls to break through the glass ceiling. And 49, do you see a flow here? She believes in women's power to affect the bigger picture. So there's just, you know, most of 49 reasons why the Huffington Post absolutely loves the First Lady.
Well, they are reaching.
Hey, who could argue? Who could argue with those?
She has nice arms.
I especially like we're baking people.
And the sweet tooth.
No, I don't mean like putting people in the oven. I mean like B-A-C-O-N.
It's the other pork.
Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, I'd have to take a break right now if our commercials or if our song sounded like anything else. But, but they're doing a 25 and a 55. So, oh, now you've done it.
That is a now, valid point. No, that's a good point.
Now you've done it.
Well, he's right.
Well, it would have been offensive. I mean, you know, think of it that way, too. Let's say that even outside of that, he could offend entire countries, entire nations could be offended just by that act.
Just by even making
it. Yes.
That's a fact. This is
so
true.
So, I mean, that's playing willy-nilly with national security.
He's trying to be a president for all the people.
Well, yeah. I understand, but
for all the American people,
French fries
for
and
all
bacon.
The people in the world,
all the people, in
all
the world.
Yeah, that's what I see.
French fries and bacon. So, Rich, I know that you like to keep up on top of things. Was there anything particularly that jumped out at you in some of these executive orders? The one thing that I really don't like, and it's kind of you hear a little bit of squabbling about it. And I'll see if you hit on it. You or Dean.
Well, are we going to continue?
No, go ahead.
The two things that I see and concern me the most, the first is the background checks, the universal background checks, and them setting the standards for it. First off, you can't have universal background checks unless you have a registry of who owns what. Okay, so anytime you transfer a firearm, the way it is now, if you buy from a federal firearms license dealer, they perform an instant background check through the FBI. And if you clear, then you can purchase the firearm. Now, if we go outside and I sell you a .22, I don't have to perform a background check. But normal people don't just sell things like that unless they know the individual. Or if I want to give a family member an heirloom gun right now, I don't have to do that. The problem with the registration is I don't personally believe the federal government's got any right knowing what law-abiding citizens own. No. If you want to do a Class 3 full automatic submachine gun, you have to jump through hoops. There's things you have to do. They know you own it. It costs a lot of money, and you pay a lot to get that, to have that privilege. And not everybody can do that. But that's the biggest thing that I see is the background check. Now, the FFLs, I agree, they should still do that. That shouldn't be a problem. But the lead into a registration is the first step to confiscating guns. It
always
has been throughout history. That's the first thing that happens.
Always will be.
It happens before the confiscation. So that, you know, that is the biggest thing. And the rest of it is so ambiguous that you don't know what it really means, and to let the legislature draw it up, you don't know where you're going to go with that. So I just have a
lot of subjectivity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like what we're going to do. We're saying we're going to do this, but in actuality, it's something different when it comes down to it. Just like with the health care bill, you know, when they were putting that through, people were saying, well, look, there's, call them what you want, there's death panels in there.
Right.
There's people that are going to rule on your
end. And they laughed at that.
And they laughed, and they said, you're fear-mongering, it's not in there, it's
right.
Not going to happen. That happened with a number of things in that health care bill.
Absolutely.
Now, comes out, that's
son
exactly
of a gun.
What's in.
Right.
Okay,
yep.
So I don't believe a thing that they say that they're going to do or what's going to happen or what's not going to happen, because it never works out that way. So, no, just my thing is keep your hands off it. Find something else to do that
constitutionally you're empowered to do, and it's more important
right.
than messing with the Second Amendment.
That more goes in line with your job. Dino, any sentiments?
I don't know all of the, what was it, 223? How many things did he put forward?
There was 23 executive orders.
23 executive orders.
But most of them, like Richard said, were pretty subjective.
And they now I heard one, they were talking with a psychiatrist. What
there
if,
you go.
He's going to...
That's the other one that really bothers me.
That's the question I had. So they're going to give them the option to say whether or not they feel as though someone can purchase
they could give,
own a firearm?
They could give negative reports
okay.
on you. They could affect your ability to
right.
attain a firearm.
Your doctor
can. Yes.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, they're encouraged to.
Oh,
so
nice.
and that's one stop shy.
Isn't
of,
that a doctor patient confidentiality?
No, they want to make it clear that there's going to be no violations of that in the law if they come forward with that.
Okay.
Now you guys know as well as I do, even if they don't mandate that doctors do this, if they don't mandate, and it's also that you have a gun that where you keep it in your house. All kinds of different aspects they can ask you about.
Oh,
is it
right.
stored safely? Right. Now, in doing so, let's say that a doctor really doesn't feel like he should go there and he stays away from it. Is he not now assuming liability? If something later
yes.
on happens and that person does end up using a firearm.
In our society,
absolutely.
Yes.
You know, if a hospital could be found liable for not attaching somebody's hand who cut it off the first place and said, do not attach it,
right.
then, yeah, you
That's
bet
right.
you bet they could be liable. And in turn, what are they going to do? It's going to become part of the policy. Or they're not going to be able to get insurance. They're not going to be able to get a lot of different things that are required to function in business.
Right.
It's that simple.
You haven't been turning in enough crazy gun people, so you're not going to get your Medicaid payments this month.
Well, there's another aspect
right?
of
yeah.
it, too,
yeah.
because you look at that. By the way, you have to treat these people, but at the same time, we're not going to pay you. So there we go again. So that was the one that really bothered me because, I mean, let's just say that if somebody went through, it could be any kind of circumstance, loss of the family, anything like that, to where they went to the doctor and got some medicine to help them sleep at night, something to kind of get them through an extremely rough period.
Right.
Now all of a sudden that's in your record. Now all of a sudden you're depressed. Maybe you're a threat to society because it's talk about subjective.
That's true.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
You got a refill.
And you got all the soldiers that are coming back from
oh,
action.
Oh yeah.
Post-traumatic stress syndrome?
Tons
Hello?
Of it.
They're on the top of the list.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I bet you're right.
Here's
sure.
a, you know, here's your weaponry. We need you over here getting shot at, fighting for our country, fighting for our Constitution, but come back. You know what? You got to give it up.
They're mm-hmm. disciplined, they're trained, and they're loyal, and they're dangerous.
All the things they don't want.
Yep.
And they swore an oath to the Constitution.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely... Did you see where the legislature in Missouri, where the Supreme Court, you had the, the head of the Supreme Court, Chief Justice of the Missouri Supreme Court, whenever he swore in, the legislators this time, he had them swear their loyalty to the government instead of to the Constitution.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No.
Legislators looking at having them reestablish those.
Well, they should.
Yeah.
I don't care what it says when they sign it.
Yeah.
There's a reason why we do an oral oath.
Right.
And why do it if you're going
to
do it wrong?
You don't swear allegiance to the government.
And are you kidding? That's not a mistake you make.
No.
Not as a chief justice.
That's up in your head.
That's intentional. I'm sorry. Absolutely it is. You know, that is not a mistake. An attorney is going to make very few of those mistakes. A chief justice of the Supreme Court is not going to be making those.
Well, I heard something about Nancy Pelosi rewrote the oath for the House members this time around, too. And I didn't get the full story of what the change was, but it was something subtle. But it was similar to that. You know.
They have to do three bend. Knee bends and say, thank you, ma'am, may I have another? That's the last that I saw. And the Republicans were playing hardball. They were trying to negotiate it down to two.
Yeah.
So three's just, that's out of the question. We'll go two.
That's exactly the way it is, too.
I hate to say that, but it's true. Yeah. I mean, and you know what? I hate to say it also, but by golly, you know what? The reputation is deserved.
Yep.
And I do want to give them credit whenever they do stand up in the rare occasions that it does happen, because there have been some. You know, I mean, this whole immigration reform that the president executive ordered in before the election. I mean, that kind of got tied up in Congress. I mean, I'll give them, but it was after the people started really voicing an opposition to the Dream Act, along with some other things, that finally we saw some nads on behalf of some of those in Congress. And what did you have? You had Hugo Chavez Jr. Just go ahead and initiate it with executive orders.
Yeah, and nobody will talk about impeaching him for all the things that he's done, and there's a list of them. And at some point, you know,
there was finally talk.
Yeah, there finally was, and it was only about the gun issue. But if you research it a little bit, there's a whole list of things that he's done, you know, sending troops to Syria.
The War Powers Act.
Yeah.
He violated the War Powers Act.
He was supposed to have troops out of Libya in, what was it, 60 or 90 days?
60, I believe.
Before he had to go back and get congressional approval.
Right.
Never even bothered.
Never attempted.
Never even tried to, never even talked about it. He's wanted to.
Right.
You know, nothing. And there's just a list of things that have happened.
Whose fault is that, Rich?
It comes down to being our fault.
It does.
But
ultimately, I mean, it's our checks and balances, at least what is supposed to be, and that's our members of Congress.
Yep.
That's it. I mean, that.
In the courts. You know, the courts need to stand up and you know, put their foot down on this stuff. But it's not going to happen unless the Senate and the House does it. You know, Congress is the ones that.
What kind of objections did you guys even hear about that? I mean, I heard a little bit of rattling, rumbling, but no serious challenges.
No.
It just business as usual. It just went on.
Because what it comes down to, I believe, in my heart, that when they're going to be in power, they want to be
absolutely
the same thing.
There you go. And we're back to that. Right.
The hell with the country. It's about our power.
Absolutely.
But that's the only explanation I can come up with.
Right.
The way they behave.
To the winners go the spoils.
Well, so they believe, unrestricted.
That's it. Elections have consequences. It doesn't mean that if you win the election, you get to do whatever the heck you want to do. You still have to do what's available to you through the law.
You're still supposed to have restraints.
Yeah.
I mean, and they pretend that, and again, you hit it on the head whenever you said that they want that authority if they get into power. Mm-hmm. And when they're in power. And that's where it lies. And you know what? I see a lot of the people, whether it be in even in grassroots, that will support bad legislation because they like who is presenting it, or who will oppose legislation that is foundationally okay because they don't like who is presenting it. And that is there's a root to a lot of our problems too.
Us versus them mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know what? You should look at the legislation. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, if it's somebody you like or somebody you don't like, it's just as damaging either way. If it's bad legislation, it's bad legislation.
That's right.
And you can't pass something because you trust who is in office at that time. And
they don't keep it clean. They don't keep the legislation clean. If it's a good bill, pass it on its merits, but don't have to tack on a ton of other stuff to buy enough votes to get it through that. It doesn't. In the end, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
Absolutely, it doesn't. Dino?
Well, we're seeing tons of that always too. There's always been pork coming along. How many extra pages did we have on Obamacare?
Well, if you're just looking at the tax code alone, I think it added some 3,000 pages at least to the tax code.
3,000.
Yeah. I think we're up over somewhere in the vicinity of in excess of 82,000 pages.
Now, isn't that the same type of thing when that was happening way back when? Wasn't that presented when people didn't even have time enough to read it?
Yes.
We better hurry up and sign it so we can get this through.
Again.
Or else we're in big trouble.
Urgency.
Oh, it's so urgent.
Hey,
yeah.
Urgency is the greatest tool of tyranny. I can tell you that.
Well, they're getting good at it.
What was this last bill they just got through regarding the fiscal cliff? They didn't even have time. I forget how many pages that bill was. They didn't have time to read it before they passed it.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
No, if you and quite frankly, I mean, and there we go again. I believe the Republicans had made a pledge to post it on the internet for at least 2 days.
72 hours.
All right, so three.
Yeah.
And they didn't, they passed it within that time frame.
They didn't do that with the health care bill. They didn't do it, you know, the problem with the health care bill is they'll post the initial bill and then they have all these amendments and stipulations that they add to it, which is thousands of more pages, and they don't think they have to put that on there for that same time frame. And now they're just to the point where, there it is on a table over there. You don't get to read it. Got to vote on it right now.
Right. Yeah.
And they do, and they pass it.
Right.
You know, it's like it's just crazy.
How can you pass anything that you don't have time to read?
And if you do, don't ever complain about anything that's in it.
No. Nope.
Because it's on you.
You're right.
You know.
Would any of us do that in our normal day-to-day lives?
Yeah. Go buy a house and set the contract over there at a table and say, take it or leave it.
Right.
Without even looking at it.
Don't read it, but sign it.
What a yes.
Anybody with common sense would walk out the door, but unfortunately, we don't have anybody with common sense.
No, we don't. And there's a classic case. And if you're going to promise it, keep it. Start keeping some promises. And again, that falls along the lines of what we were talking about, that the majority of the public would support and what our members of Congress are, hate to say it, getting by with.
You can say it.
People... what's the approach? I mean, outside of just being vigilant and trying to keep on the phones or keep in contact, I liked whenever Congress was trying to pass laws that you couldn't contact them at all if you weren't in their district.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of my favorites. Like, let's see, you pass laws that affect the entire state or the entire country,
mm-hmm.
but I can't contact you because I'm not in your district.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll go over real well. You want to talk about Lords and Kings? I mean, that smacked of it.
Well, is that just from radio personalities giving out their numbers and whatnot?
Yeah. They felt they didn't like the pressures that they were getting from outside of the districts.
Which is part of the job.
Absolutely.
It is part of the job, yeah.
But I'm just looking at another tough year. Hey, have either one of you guys, and you had this big Mayan thing that got blown up, that once again, I knew it wasn't going to be anything. I'm sorry. But no one knows the day and the time.
Right.
So I knew it wasn't going to be on that day.
Well, we just started. We just started our next 5,000-year calendar.
Right. And did you guys see where, once again, now I love the terminology that's used, the doomsday clock. It's at 5 minutes. The scientists have set it to 5 minutes till 12.
Yeah.
Have you really seen anything on that?
Not in a while, but I remember that.
Yeah, they started it in 1937. And it's fluctuated back and forth, and I think the most that it's ever been is like 20 something minutes till midnight, and it's back up, it's whittled back up to 5 minutes till the doom. I think the closest it's ever been has been like 3 minutes till.
Wow.
On the doomsday chart, and it's a crock of crap.
How are they figuring that out? Yeah.
I mean, it's just they get around. Well, what should we set it at? Well, I don't know, you know. And again, you know, they're looking for worldwide nuclear disarmament, all the regular liberal causes,
is
what they're looking at. And whenever they don't see their agendas being passed, they bump it a little closer.
Yeah.
So it's a same old, but what a waste of time. What a waste of time and effort and everything. It's like the Father of the Year Award we was talking about in the last show.
Yeah.
You know, what a waste of time. I mean, all it was newsmen and politicians. If you were a member of the news, Richard, you were a Father of the Year somewhere. I had a list of like 14 news anchors that have all been Father of the Year.
Brokaw, Rather.
I mean, you could go on. It would be harder to name the ones that weren't. Yeah. And it was.
even all the Today Show.
I
Matt
can't
Lauer,
wait.
The
yeah.
Weatherman.
Sure.
Yeah, they were all on there.
Now, you
good fathers.
Wait, next year I anticipate Piers Morgan being on it. You know?
Sure. And why not? He loves the children. He's all about
yeah,
the
he
kids.
Loves the children.
He loves the ratings.
And the sad thing is it's actually increased his ratings.
Yeah. He's,
but I, nobody will
he's
stay.
Up a little. Nobody watches.
Nobody
him.
Will stay.
No.
I watched it twice ever. One was when Alex Jones was on last week, and I DVR'd it last night because he was on, I think, Dan, I'm not a big Dana Lash fan, but she was on there.
I wanted to see that.
You know,
yeah,
it was pretty entertaining. The only thing I can ascertain is that Dana really wants a tank, according to Piers Morgan. That was his big thing. Was, you know,
oh, really?
No limits on the Second Amendment. You want a tank. You've got to want a tank. That's the only reason you can say that. Or are we talking nuclear weapons? You know?
Oh yeah.
It's so
yeah.
outrageous.
Yeah, that's something we're going to cut a check for.
You know, come on. Yeah. Who was the last guy that bought a tank and went out and shot up a school? Come on. I mean, it's crazy, you know. I
did see a really ticked off farmer build his own armored vehicle,
yeah.
and he ran in and just totally demolished City Hall, and some other
I
things.
Heard about
you'll
that.
You have to look that up. I mean, he welded like 1-inch steel plates around a tractor. I mean, you know, he was all locked up, but he had tore up City Hall. He did like $3 million worth of damage. By the time it was all said
wow.
and done.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a tough
that
farmer.
It was. They couldn't stop it, man. I mean, you know, it was, but eventually I do believe that he was shot and killed.
It must have been a few years ago because most of the police departments are getting these armored vehicles now from what I can see. You know, they need them for traffic stops.
Well, they're getting them from drug dealers.
I'd like to have
military.
Right.
These aren't drug dealers.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah.
And
I'd love to have my own tank.
You know, there is that appeal in the woods and so forth. There was the one farmer too that took his manure truck in. You remember that, don't you?
That's probably more appropriate.
Yeah, he took the manure truck. It was like chicken droppings or turkey dry. It was I forgot how many thousand gallon tank.
Front steps.
And he hosed the whole building down the whole front of like City
yeah.
Hall. Just got it out there and just hit reverse on the letter literally.
Not that I'm saying that's right, but, you know, he didn't hurt
well,
anyone.
You know what? It's a nonviolent protest.
Right.
The building's still there, everything else.
The janitor
so
got
forth.
Some extra work.
There was one guy that hijacked a tank a while back, wasn't it? I mean, didn't he get it from an ANVETS or something? Do you remember?
I remember him driving down the street.
Yeah, he drove over some vehicles
yeah.
and some other things. And then they ended up, somebody jumped up on the top of it and shot down in there and killed him. But there's your tank, Richard. But Pierce, I didn't see that last night. Was it worth watching?
It
or was it just
was
kind of the back and forth?
It was like three people talking at one time most of the time.
Most of the time.
Wasn't a lot of good points. You know, what he does is he gets on one little factoid, and he wants you to answer it. You know, and it was the tank thing last night. You know, if you don't want any restrictions on the Second Amendment, you know, we already have some, so a few more can't be bad. Where do you draw the line? You know, and it's just ridiculous.
That's a good question. Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line with saturated fats? Where do you draw the line with sodium? Where do you draw the line with the size of your sodas? That's why
ounces.
You can't really, you know, let the government start getting into that business in the first place.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's because, you know what, where do you draw the line? And in the Second Amendment, right, that's all the more reason why you need to stay out is because where do you draw the line?
Well, you know, back when it was written, you know, everybody had muskets. Everybody had
that argument.
Basic kinds of weapons. But you could have a cannon. I mean, that was the big thing of the day, was a cannon.
Right.
But people could own cannons.
Sure.
People did. You know,
did they have Gatling guns?
There was, no, that came
about. That did come about in the 18...
Right, but if somebody 70s, wanted to buy one other than military, you would only have a 10-round clip. You know, no, not really.
I was going to say, that's a fast Gatling gun.
Dang, I just got started.
Yeah. And we're done.
You know, I'll try to get this right. First attempted school shooting, there was one in the 1800s.
Okay.
And that was a deal where a couple people from Britain had a dispute. One of them came over to the Americas and ended up being a school teacher out west somewhere. This other guy, I guess he simmered and seared and got all worked up about it, and he decided to hunt this guy down. Probably took him years to do it. But he came over to the United States. Finally found this
guy. That's some hate.
That's some hate. That's some dedication. So he finally found the guy in the school, and he came into the school, pulled his pistol, said, I'm here to finish this because we're not done. And apparently, I don't know what age group the kids were.
The guy's like, hey, I didn't mean to cut you off in my buggy.
It could have been junior high or whatever, but when he pulled his pistol off, threatened to kill the teacher, apparently half the class pulled out their pistol. Him at the guy at the back of the school and said, well, if you kill our teacher, you're dead too.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
That was one response right there. And then you really didn't have problems with firearms and that sort of stuff until Prohibition kicked in. And then you had the formation of the gangsters and the mafia.
Right.
And the guys that were running the liquor, like the Kennedys, made their millions running the illegal liquor.
Mm-hmm.
But that brought up the crime problem with the mobs and some of the states.
The gang violence, let's just say.
It was basically gang violence,
right.
Criminal gang violence at that time. And that's kind of when that started. That's when you had your first firearms legislation, because the states asked for help. So we can't deal with these guys. You know, they outgun us. They asked the feds for help. The feds said, that's out of our jurisdiction. Imagine that.
Imagine that. Right.
But eventually, they got involved.
Sure.
So they had that. And then the first real school shooting didn't happen until the 70s. Well, in 1968, in response to John F. Kennedy's assassination, Martin Luther King's assassination, they were finally able to get a foothold with some gun legislation. And that was basically full automatics. That was the 1968, I believe it was, Firearms Act. And that was the start of it. And then they've had a couple minor things since then. But you haven't had this issue until they got involved in trying to regulate this stuff. And I'm not sure when the gun-free zones came into effect.
1994, I believe.
Is it 94?
That's what I want to say.
You know, so this stuff, I mean, you had a school blown up, I believe it was in
94 or 96.
Yeah, the 20s. 38 kids?
Yeah, the guy brought dynamite, put it under the front of, got it in the school, somehow blew the school up.
That's the worst ever in America.
Yeah, it was the worst ever. There was a lot of children got killed. Man, that was back in, the 20s or 30s.
Yeah.
Well, you remember that horrible Amish schoolhouse shooting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that guy, I guarantee you, knew that he wasn't going to find any guns.
Right.
You know, in that
you're right.
School building.
No.
And again, really, most of them have, almost all of them, all the big ones have happened since the first assault gun ban and since they started making gun-free zones around these schools.
Well, you know, I can remember back in the day where they would have, high schools would have shooting teams and colleges would have shooting teams. And
I think colleges still do, I believe.
Kids would bring their rifles to school.
Right.
And then it was an extracurricular activity where they would target shoot and marksmanship shoot, and it was no big deal. And now it's like, oh my God, a gun.
Right.
Everybody panics because it's, I mean.
Well, I mean, just like the kids with the point in the fingers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
insanity.
It's panic. Panic time.
Yeah.
And the kids are panicking, not because, again, don't you guys have a little bit of an issue or a problem with some of these supposed letters that are written by first graders and kindergartners,
mm-hmm.
and all the rest of that. I mean,
all of them were coached.
And whatever these sure. kids are saying that they're having trouble sleeping at night. Parents, what do you, I mean, honestly, do you not filter anything?
Yeah.
Do you not filter anything that your six-year-old is watching?
That's right. Let them watch the
song. What do you talk about around your dinner table?
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be some, you're the reason why your kid is having trouble sleeping at night.
Kids that age can't fathom what that's about. They just don't know.
That's right.
You know, they're still forming themselves. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just terrible that they would. I mean, I'm sure they're going to find out something in the news. They might catch a glimpse of it, you know, what happened. And,
you try to explain it as simplistic terms as you can, and you dang sure don't go into in-depth conversations
right.
with them about it. Again, you know, they're not at that level. They're not going to comprehend the whole scope of the whole thing. And these kids that are doing this are the ones that have the most outspoken liberal parents around. I mean, and whenever they're creating turmoil in their young children's lives by scaring them to death.
They're creating sound bites.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if your 6-year-old is having trouble sleeping after the shooting, it's your fault.
Yeah.
It's your fault. I mean, I know, first of all, I know that America's got this fascination with having to get the newest details, even though the details in that case couldn't have been any further off.
Right.
You'd have been better off. I mean, even today, you can't get details.
No. Yeah.
And they say that they're not going to even, that the investigation is going to go on for months. That school is locked down to anybody from the outside for months, and this investigation is going to carry on for maybe another 6 months.
I still want to know.
What are you investigating?
What are you investigating?
Absolutely. Right. The guy is dead. The shooter, the so-called shooter, is dead. I mean, it's not.
Who was the second guy? The guy in fatigues, right from
the second or the at one time, the third.
We don't know.
I mean, they were all over the place.
And then the funny thing is that if you even ask a question about that, you're deemed some kind of conspiracy theorist or something along those lines. You know, when if you just look at the reports at the time it was happening.
Look
There's
at what
a lot of questions.
Look at what they're saying.
Yeah.
And they said.
Right.
The next day, whenever they said that there wasn't three handguns used, there was actually four. And then there was even video out there of them pulling the Bushmaster out of the trunk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were saying that it was left in the vehicle all along.
That's
and
right.
then all of a sudden you have a coroner. Did you guys see that clip with the coroner?
I heard he said every one of them was killed with a .223.
No, he didn't. He didn't mention this. The gay. He said all of them was killed with the assault rifle.
Okay.
And then whenever one of the reporters asked him, first of all, he was laughing early. I mean, the coroner. The coroner was laughing and joking early on, and then whenever they asked him, they asked him about what they were shot with. He said the assault rifle, all of them were killed with the assault rifle, and then somebody asked him what caliber was it, and he couldn't answer.
Yeah.
He couldn't answer, but he knows they were all killed with the assault rifle. What he did was he said the coroner couldn't answer the caliber.
You know, most coroners can look at a bullet hole and tell you what caliber it was.
Absolutely.
I mean, two, one or two. Maybe the difference between a rifle and pistol caliber that are very close together. But – yeah, that's the thing.
What he said was, ask the police.
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer that question. You know, I mean, I'm
so
not
he
gonna...
could answer. He was told not.
He
to.
Couldn't answer. I'm telling you, it was. It caught
yeah.
him by surprise. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to say.
Well, you know, you're going to have shell casings. If he shot as many shots as they say he did, there's going to be shell casings all over the place.
Yes.
And you can pick them up and look at them and tell what it was and tell how many guns were used.
That's
right.
why it's closed
I mean,
down.
A pistol, a rifle, a shotgun, whatever. And even if the pistols that he used supposedly were the same caliber, you're going to have one caliber of bullet casing laying around that school.
Right.
It's easy to pick up on that and say, well, the crime was committed with this. You know, I remember seeing a picture of a SIG and a picture of, I think, a Glock is what they said he used, those two.
Right.
But then you got the mystery long gun, who
I had people say who examined that clip of them taking it out of the trunk, and they said that was a shotgun. It was not even a Bushmaster.
Right. That's what I heard.
So, you know, I mean, there's so much, and it would be so easy to come out and say you're not going to prosecute this guy. He's dead.
Okay? Right.
So if you want to deem everybody conspiracy theorists that have questions about the very
yeah, you're not going to hurt the evidence.
Right. Come out and clarify. Well, the guy in the woods was hunting. He heard shots, and he came out of the woods because apparently there's a long hunting season.
Right. Wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong place, wrong time. You haul him away because you want to check out his story.
Sure.
And that's fine. That takes about an hour to figure that out. You know, if the guy's got a bow and arrow, that's what the season it was, you know, he didn't do any of the shooting.
Yeah.
So, and clear it up. And
right.
There's no reason that he can't come out and say, yeah, that was me. I was hunting and heard the shots, and that's why they took me in to check my story out before they just let me go.
Sure.
On this short clip, tell me what else that you find that's a little bit odd. And I'm talking about a 24-second clip here.
Okay.
If they did
walk a guy out of the woods. I saw him walk a guy earlier with handcuffs.
Like
he walked by us and said he didn't do it.
It was a grown man.
A grown man, yeah. He's sitting in the front of the police car over there now. So, I mean...
He didn't have a gun?
No, I didn't see any gun. Just had him handcuffed. And he walked by us and looked into parents' eyes and said, I didn't do it.
How was he dressed?
Camo pants with a dark jacket.
You guys find anything else odd about that statement? Really?
Not really.
When was the last time that anybody ever took a suspect in and sat him in the front of the police car?
In the front of the police car.
And again, good listen point. To it real quick. It's only 24
seconds. They did walk a guy out of the woods. I saw him walk a guy earlier with handcuffs. He walked by us and said he didn't do it.
It was a grown man.
A grown man, yeah. He's sitting in the front of the police car over there now. So, I mean...
He didn't have a gun?
No, I didn't see any gun. Just had him handcuffed. And he walked by us and looked into parents' eyes and said, I didn't do it.
How was he dressed?
Camo pants with a dark jacket.
Now, obviously, it's early in the investigation. Obviously, they're still talking to him. Who sets a guy in the front of a police car?
Well, the guy said he didn't have a gun. Well, he wouldn't be still carrying a gun.
Well, no.
They wouldn't even know that.
Right.
And
but if he was a suspect and you hadn't...
Back of the car.
Absolutely.
With the handcuffs on. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're in a locked police car in a cage, not in the front seat with the electronics and everything.
With the shotgun, with everything else that happens to be up front. Nobody sets a suspect in the front of the car.
No, and I think he was not a suspect.
And obviously, whenever they interviewed this guy, he's motioning over to the police car, and he's saying, "There he is, there in the front of the police car."
Right.
So it's that. I mean, there is a million things like that went on with this that just stinks to high heaven. It
and
doesn't
you've never
make
heard
sense.
Anything else about that guy again.
No.
Well, now, the other thing, too, is you talk about he looked into the parents' eyes and told them he didn't do it. Well, normally they cordon an area off, and you're not going to have a civilian that close to the police cars and close to a possible suspect.
Right.
You know, because if the parents think that guy did it,
his life's in jeopardy.
His life's in jeopardy right
mm-hmm.
there.
Right.
So I find it odd that the parents were that close to the area, to the school, you know.
Maybe that's why the guy was saying, I didn't do it. That's what I'd say to the parents. I mean, if they had me, I know how it would look. If I really didn't do it, I'd be making that very clear. Wasn't me.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you won't
even see me again after this morning's news.
I know what you're saying.
But then there's no other mention of that after.
No, there isn't.
None. That's what's so odd about the whole thing.
Such a deep, dark secret, everything.
You know, there wasn't even any... Now, you tell me, I mean, whether it's the bomber. You remember in Atlanta, whenever they had that guy that was bombing public events? You remember whenever they arrested the wrong guy? And in the press, I mean, he was already tried, convicted. I mean, we knew his name.
Yes.
We knew where he worked. We knew his girlfriend. We knew everything about that guy. How come not only do you not hear a word about these other people that were interviewed, because there were other people interviewed, you don't know anything about them? Nothing.
And with the internet.
Not even what cleared them?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, with the internet today and all the stuff that's out there, the stuff you can find it out.
Almost
with.
Immediately, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, those, once again, I mean,
they just they go on and on and on and on. It doesn't make sense.
Well, that car that he supposedly drove to the school, that wasn't even his mother's car. They said that he took his mom's car, but that wasn't his mother's. It was registered to some other guy. I don't remember the name, but I saw an article on that a couple of days ago, and it was kind of fishy. It
always makes you wonder, is the other guy the guy that was in the camo? You just don't know. It's open for conspiracy theories then.
Yeah,
right.
And that's the problem. You know that they know a lot more about what happened and why and the situation. Yeah, I don't expect footage of the bodies or anything like that.
No.
There's no video surveillance?
No, none. Zero. Nothing. It goes on and on. And what you do see seems extremely strange. I mean, the whole situation. I mean, there was more things weird about this than there was that made sense. I mean, from the get-go. And again, it's left without definition.
Right.
There's no explanations. There's no questions asked,
yeah.
Which is weird in this press. You look at that linebacker right now for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll give a million times more effort in a situation like that than they will something like this. And that's the thing that's really, and you hit it on the head whenever you said you can't ask questions. You can't.
Right.
Cold-hearted, you know what? Conspiracy nut.
That's right.
There's a guy, he's a Fox affiliate, some local station. I don't remember what it is. His name's Ben Swan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
He's done some really, really good reports on some stuff that really questions authority. He's really interesting to listen to, but he brought up some things about Sandy Hook. He brought up some things about the Colorado shooting, and it wasn't any kind of conspiracy thing, but he pointed out different information that was gleaned during the course of what was happening. You know, there was another suspect that was chased down.
There was that had some eyewitness reports in it, right?
Yeah.
And
they actually had clips of the police scanners where the police were talking back and forth with dispatch and the officers on the scene about what was happening and what they were looking at. And there was just a lot of things that you heard about one time and then you didn't hear about them anymore.
Right.
You know, like the other suspect, about the supposed person inside the theater that got up and opened the door for...
Right.
You didn't hear anything more about it. There was reports from inside the theater that he used gas when he came in.
Yeah,
Tear gas.
Right.
But there was reports that there was gas on the other side of the theater.
Right.
And where did that come from?
Right.
You know, so there's just so many things that are just odd about it. That it shouldn't be odd this amount of time after it happened.
No.
Right. Here's again, and I think this is the next morning, another one of those early shooting reports.
Information as well. Pete, good morning.
Matt, good morning to you. This continues to be a very complex investigation, and there's a lot of contradictory information out there, but there is some new information this morning from a couple of federal officials and state officials. They say now that there were actually four handguns recovered inside the school, not just two, as we were initially told. Four handguns, and apparently only handguns, that were taken into the school. We knew that Adam Lanza, the man said to be the gunman here, also had a assault-style, AR-15-style rifle that he had taken to the school that was in the car he drove there, his mother's car. But we've been told by several officials that he left that in the car. We're also told that on the 11th of December, on Tuesday of this week, Adam Lanza went to a sporting goods store in Danbury, Connecticut, and tried to buy another rifle, but was denied the ability to buy the rifle for a couple of reasons. One is that Connecticut is among the states with stricter gun regulations, and there's a waiting period, so he was denied the rifle for that. And finally, and this may be the most telling piece of information, on the 13th of December, there was, and this, we've been told this by a couple of officials, there was some kind of altercation. He went to the school, got in an argument with four staff members, and we're still trying to determine what the nature of that is.
Ever determined that?
No, and I never heard any more about that.
No.
You know,
No, and what's funny is whenever he starts out, he tries to clarify this as not contradictory. He tries to say that there was a lot of contradictory stuff said earlier, but he's got under good authority that they recovered four pistols instead of the two, and the car and the other gun was in the car. Yeah. Now, this just goes away. And again, you got to, you know, I mean, there is, if they don't want people to be conspiracy minded, they can't leave this kind of stuff hanging out there. You can't just change up and not clarify.
Now I'm even more curious.
Well, I saw a story that somebody did, and they were talking about, you know, how everything on the internet now is time stamped. Okay.
Right.
That there was a charity, a benefit charity set up for the victims of the Sandy Hook shootings 2 weeks before the shooting took place.
I've heard some
had pictures and names of the victims. And it was time stamped and it was started, like I said, weeks before the shooting took place. How do you do that?
How is that possible?
How do you do that? I mean, it would be pretty tough to fake a timestamp because it was it wasn't like somebody posted it on their own blog. It was something that where people listed these kinds of charities, and if you go in sequence going through them, they were all about the same order. You would have a death,
right,
and then you would have the charity start up 2, 3, 4 days later.
Right.
And they were all the same way if you looked at them, except for this one that was pushed way up the list. So it's just like, okay.
Unless it was started by Adam Lanza, it would make no sense.
That's weird. Yeah, that's bad.
And that's,
that makes no sense.
Well, it goes, again, you could say one thing after another after another after another makes absolutely no sense in that. I mean, there was a million questions about the guy who had the 6 kids in his driveway. That thing absolutely made no sense whenever the bus driver dropped the 6 kids off or whatever in his driveway. He was interviewed multiple times on local news sources and so forth. The guy is all the evidence I've seen, without a shadow of a doubt, a member of the Actors Guild. It goes on and on and on I mean, what in a tragic instant like that, you've got an adult that's got a van, a bus that's got these kids on it, that drops them off in this guy's driveway. It gives them no details whatsoever. And some of the things that the guy says the kid said doesn't make sense.
Is he the guy that I saw somebody, they were talking, I don't remember if it was on television.
He's got glasses and yeah.
And he was saying that some of the phone calls and stuff that he's been getting from people are saying that this whole thing is a hoax and that he's, you know, fearing for his life. And
I haven't seen that, seen him interviewed. I'll bet it is.
It must be the same guy, because the report that I heard was that these kids somehow escaped the school and came to him, and he lives like across the street from the school.
Right, but he was talking about another adult being there, some kind of somebody, it sounded like to me, a driver or something with the school, who just left the kids with him. I mean, you know, that didn't explain anything, that didn't anything else. And then one of the kids, from what I understand, was talking about them leaving the classroom of the one of the classrooms that they said that all the kids that tried to leave were shot and killed. And it was just a multitude of things that didn't make sense. And secondly, I mean, quite frankly, I mean, who's interviewing these kids and everything that quick after all this stuff's going on, after a tragic situation like that?
You know, after what I saw when they're interviewing the parents, and then you see later that they're not even parents, they're actors from another state that were shipped in for that.
There's all kinds of, you know, there's so much stuff out there. Again, you hate to think along those lines. There's so much stuff out there that what it is, everything's so muddled. You don't know what to believe
and
what not to
believe.
Anything. Period.
Right.
I mean, whenever you can't get the basics right, when the coroner can't tell you what kind of, I mean, other than the gun, you can't say the caliber. You can't, you just go on and on and on. I mean, these were things, they were telling other details about this. They were telling other details, so talking about one body, that one child that was shot 11 times, all the rest of this kind of stuff. But you can't give a caliber of a gun.
Yeah.
You can't do a lot of the other things. I mean, some of the other stuff would have actually been in violation of the investigation.
Right.
But you can't give the details of stuff that wouldn't have affected the outcome of an investigation that the main suspect is dead in any ways.
Right, exactly.
None of that
added up to me anyway. If one kid was shot 11 times, one child, you're saying?
One child.
And we're to believe that he had 2 9-millimeter handguns. He didn't have that kind of bullet power with him.
And if you actually look at the stockpile, if you stacked up all the guns, all the shots that they said that he fired, it's a pretty big pile.
He must have had 10, 15 clips.
Yeah.
On top of everything else, I mean, it just doesn't...
It doesn't add up.
None of it does, as much as I hate to say that. And I really, you know, whenever there's... And again, here's my whole thing with this whole thing, and I haven't heard one other person say it yet. You touched on it, Richard, whenever you were talking about this database. What is, since this shooting, that week, the next week... We wanted to instigate the small arms treaty with the UN again, and we agreed with it. I mean, it hasn't been passed by the Senate or anything, but we verbally supported it.
Right.
Now, in that treaty, it states that all member states have to have every gun owner registered, every one of them. Now, wouldn't this be a way to accomplish that part of that treaty?
Yep.
Yes, it would.
Absolutely.
And that's been something that's been instigated since, revisited since this tragic. And that's where I think it's coming under. I think that this is an attempt to try to meet the mandates
to initiate that
of the small arms treaty.
I hate to be so cynical, but this doesn't happen fast enough for government right now.
Right.
There'll be more shootings.
Oh, then I'm really going to think this is a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
They'll blame it on copycats, but they'll, I just...
And you know what? It'll be your fault, my fault, and everybody else that opposed it.
Because we didn't act fast.
Absolutely.
That's right.
We didn't turn our guns.
How
dare it. Anybody that would have the testicle fortitude to stand up and say you're not violating the Second Amendment rights, they're going to be at fault.
That's intestinal fortitude, not testicle fortitude.
No, in this case, and in this Congress, yeah. It's testicle.
That's right.
we know they've got all the intestinal fortitude they want. They eat in the finest restaurants around. Anyways, we're going to close. Thanks for tuning in tonight to Hillbilly Logic as these three hillbillies kind of kick some different things around from the topics of today. Rich, thanks for joining us.
Anytime.
And Dino, as always.
Thanks for having me.
You always bless us. Yeah, whenever you make it in, it's a wonderful thing. Thanks a lot, guys. Tune in next Thursday as we'll bring about another episode. Also, go by, shoot us a line. No. Right, we can't do that.
Drop us a line.
You can look us up also on Facebook and Hillbilly Logic. And thank you so much as we close things out on this episode of Hillbilly Logic. And again, things aren't wanting to fire.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.